Greetings to each of you. It is a joy to be gathered together with you all this morning, worshiping our Lord together. I would like to conclude a series of messages that I shared, bring the conclusion this morning with a theme of God being our potter and we the clay. The first message I shared was on image bearers. When God created man, he created man in his image. And we explored what it looks like to be made in God's image. And we saw how God's image was greatly marred when sin came into the world. And then Jesus Christ, in his love for sinners, he gave his life on the cross that God's image could be restored, if you will, and we could, again, better reflect God's image. Now, I believe that even sinners still bear part of God's image, but we best portray God's image when we are in line with our Heavenly Father and how He created us to be. And then the last message I shared talked about a surrendered vessel. So God being the potter, us the clay, and how it is important that we need to be surrendered to God and His plan for us, the vessel that He is shaping us into. I again brought a few objects or vessels along this morning just to give us a little picture of, again, God the potter and us the clay. We won't all look the same when God is finished with us, but God creates beautiful vessels. And when we allow God to take us, this is some soft clay in the bag here, when we surrender our lives to God, allow God to be the potter, He begins to do a great work in our lives. And that work is not finished until our life on earth is ended. So I'm speaking this morning to people who are surrendered to God's will. I trust that is the case this morning. But God continues to mold us and shape us, including myself. It'd be nice or easier sometimes if we could just surrender one time and it's that easy. But God calls us to continual surrender as we go throughout life. Surrender our fears or whatever we're facing. We can surrender them to God, and God does a beautiful work. So I'd like to say this verse together, the theme verse for this series. You can all join me as we read this. But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father, we are the clay, and Thou our potter, and we all are the work of Thy hand. Isaiah 64:8. So again, this verse was written more specifically to the nation of Israel. God wanted to do a work among His people. But I believe individually this verse can apply as well, because God cares about each one of us, and He wants to create a beautiful vessel from each one of us. And He will do that if we continue to surrender and we continue to endure. The title of the message this morning is An Enduring Vessel. Part of the process of making a vessel, I'm not a potter. I work with clay, but I'm not a potter, so I'm not going to claim to know the entire process very well. But part of the process, thinking about enduring, is going into the kiln, where the potter places his clay vessel that he has shaped into a very hot oven or kiln, and it's through that process that the clay becomes very hard, turns into ceramic, and is useful for the potter to do whatever he wills. Now, spiritually speaking, this is difficult. It's not easy sometimes to endure. When we think of the word endure, if I would tell you I'm enduring, or if you tell me that you're enduring, there's something there that implies that we're maybe going through something hard, that there's a struggle that we are facing if we say that we are enduring. If things are going well, we don't have to use we probably wouldn't use the word that we are enduring, but we endure through hardships. Just a few pictures to help us think about what this looks like. Again, the first picture there with the clay being placed on the wheel, This is the picture I like to think of as when we surrender our lives to God and we allow God to begin His work, we place our lives center on the wheel or in the center of God's will, and we allow Him to begin a work. And then the shaping begins. And I realize every object lesson breaks down at some point. Part of our lives are continuing to look like that, where God continues to shape us. And it's not just a one time and done going through the kiln either. It'd be nice sometimes, right? If there was one hardship that we go through, and when we come out the other side, now the hardship is over, and now we're good to go. But I believe you could all testify that hardships come throughout life. Hardships look, some are small and some are great. They vary quite a bit. But the end result is a beautiful vessel that's useful to the master. Here again, it breaks down. We can be useful for God no matter where we are in our Christian walk. The youngest Christian is a very useful instrument in God's hands. But we don't get to perfect completion until the time that I believe God is finished with our life on earth. And God creates beautiful vessels for every surrendered Christian, every Christian who will continue to endure. So I want to encourage you all this morning. And a biblical definition of that word endure means to persist with patience and steadfastness through hardship, trials, or persecution. So it implies not simply suffering passively, but actively remaining faithful and committed to God's will and His promises, even among adversity. When I think of that definition, my mind goes to the heroes of faith. Hebrews 11 says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." So as we think about that word endure, it is encouraging to have others who went on before us, and we can look at their example, who endured, not always knowing the why, like exactly understanding everything, but they continued to trust in God and believe the promises, even though they had not seen them fulfilled. Interesting fact, so the word endure, or endured and endureth, or also enduring, appears 99 times in the King James Version. And as God's children, we are called to endure various things. So hardships, the Bible talks about enduring hardships, enduring persecution, temptations, enduring false teachings, and then also enduring to the end. So I'm not going to look at an exhaustive list at enduring this morning, but I do want to look at three different ones. So again, the title, an enduring vessel. The first point I want to look at is enduring trials. I plan to spend the majority of the time with the message, or in the message this morning, on enduring trials. There's trials of all kinds that we could look at. The second one is enduring temptations. I don't think any of us are exempt from temptations. We have an enemy that brings temptations and wants us to lead us astray and wants us to give up. But God wants us to endure. And then thirdly, enduring to the end. Unfortunately, there's some Christians who endure for a time, but then the thorns come up, or the cares of this world look really appealing, and they give up. They don't make it to the end, and they're not going to receive the crown, the everlasting crown that God gives to those who endure. We'll look at that a little bit towards the end. So, moving into the first point, enduring trials. When we think of that word trials, I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of trials. I realize there's people here this morning that can relate to trials much more than I can. Things that you faced in your life that were extremely difficult. That maybe in the heat of it, when you were placed in that kiln, you didn't know if you're ever going to be able to get out. You're ever going to be able to get through the trial. And trials are often, or maybe almost always, unpleasant. And we want out in the moment. But trials can also be good for us. So in Hebrews 12, it says this: "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." So trials are not without a purpose. It can produce something beautiful in our lives if we allow it to. You can turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. I'd like to read a few verses there. Peter talks about trials and how we should approach them. There's various places that we could look at in Scripture about trials. James says, "Count it all joy." And 1 Peter chapter 4, I'd like to start reading here at verse 12. Peter is encouraging the Christians. Many of these Christians were facing persecution, so they were enduring trials. But Peter says this in verse 12, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. If the Spirit of glory and God resteth upon you, on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." I will stop reading there. But in paraphrasing these verses, so James is saying, don't be surprised when you experience trials. Trials will come. In fact, rejoice that you are sharing in Christ's sufferings. This is hard to do. But when we go through trials, when we go through sufferings, when we're falsely accused, we can remember that Jesus can relate with us. Jesus knows what we're going through, and we can rejoice in that. And he says, don't be ashamed to suffer for Christ. But he also says, don't suffer from your own wrongdoing. Shortly, I want to talk some more about that. But there's also parts where when we go through suffering, maybe sometimes we're just reaping what we sow. Maybe we set ourselves up for trials. That is also a possibility. But Peter says, don't let that be your trials. Don't let that be your suffering. But rather, don't be surprised when trials come, but rejoice in that you are worthy to share in Christ's sufferings. And trials have the capability to either harden or soften our hearts. Again, thinking about this clay, as we allow God to be the potter, through those trials, we're faced with choices. Are we going to continue surrendering, or are we going to harden our hearts? I remember talking to a man that his heart became very hardened through trials. He went through a very difficult time, and there was a loss of one of his children. He became very bitter and angry towards God. That was a hard thing that he went through. And unfortunately, he chose to harden his heart towards God. And the trial, instead of softening his heart toward God, became that trial embittered or made his heart very bitter. Trials have the tendency to make us bitter or better, like I had already mentioned. This is a choice that each one of us make through the trials. And I believe there's times that maybe we can relate to trials where maybe for a season our heart did become hardened and bitter, but God continued to speak to us. And there's a beautiful thing when we can come to the place of, again, surrender and allowing God to soften our heart and to continue molding us. A beautiful picture of this, of a softened heart through extreme trials, is Job. You don't have to turn there. I have it up here on the screen. It says this: after Job went through extreme trials and suffering. See, Job didn't realize what all was taking place in the spiritual realm about the conversation between Satan and God. At least, I don't think he was aware of this. But after all these things happened, it says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, 'Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" That is very powerful. I don't think any of us, I mentioned about, I don't know what some of the trials, how hard of the trials some of you went through, but I don't think any of us can relate to what Job went through and losing almost everything in a short amount of time. And then we even have Job's wife coming to him and saying, you know what, just curse God and die. So even his wife became bitter towards God, at least for a time. But Job, in all this, he did not sin. The beauty of someone going through trials and yet allowing God to continue to mold and shape them is so beautiful. And a picture of that beauty is the Japanese art of Kintsugi, I believe is how it's pronounced. And I have a picture up here of a beautiful vessel. So Kintsugi is a Japanese art that repairs broken pottery with gold, rendering a new piece that is more beautiful than it was before the break. When I look at that vessel, it's amazing how beautiful it is, all the broken pieces, yet put back together and lined with gold. And a broken vessel can also represent, you know, someone that's not surrendered to Christ. But there's a beautiful picture of brokenness as well. In fact, in Psalm, and I'll read the verse here on the screen, it says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh, or near, unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." I love this picture of, and this verse here, thinking about someone going through great trials, coming to the place of surrender, as David did. He went through some very difficult things. Some of it was because of his own consequences, but he also came to a beautiful place in his life where he was broken and surrendered before God. And God can pick up those broken pieces, maybe that were self-inflicted, that we did ourselves. God can take those pieces when we surrender to him and put them back together and actually make us even more beautiful. That I love that picture that it gives. In the world, we think of, or thinking of beauty as, you know, keeping up with the latest trends and keeping your bodies as beautiful as we can. I think a biblical picture of beauty, as I prepared this message, what came to me is someone that has went through the kiln, went through the trials, and yet comes out on the other side lined with gold. That is beautiful. Whether it's a young person or an older person, there is beauty when someone can allow God to pick up the broken pieces, line them with gold, if you will, and put them back together. There is so much beauty in that. So, God can use our trials to make us more beautiful, and our response is what makes that difference. Back to that man that I shared, his heart became very bitter. It is up to us. God is not forcing us. God does not place his hands on us and force us to shape us. If we harden our hearts, God will allow us to do that. But God in his love will continue to speak to us, and God can only make us into something beautiful like that if we allow those trials to allow God to work through those trials. And thinking a little bit about trials, it could mean, you know, a lot of things. Maybe just something small that we're going through that's a setback. Maybe the death of a loved one. Maybe the loss of a job. Maybe a friend that said something behind our back. Those things are hard. They're not easy, but we have choices to make through those times. So, I want us to endure faithfully so that God can complete his beautiful vessels. Thinking about enduring faithfully, that is our choice. If we endure faithfully, God continues to mold us and shape us into a beautiful vessel. Thinking a little bit about this, I don't know if you had or maybe ever asked the question or had people ask you the question along the lines of, if God is a truly good God, or
If God is truly good,
why does he allow bad things to happen to good people? So thinking about trials, thinking about difficulties that we face, hardships that we face. So I've already heard people ask, you know, if God really loves us, why do we see all the brokenness in the world? Why do we see children dying of diseases? Why do we see or hear of children starving? Is God really good if those things are happening? In my mind, I try to give an answer in four simple ways. And some of these, I'm sure, came from other sources. Just this week, I was talking to a man that went through a very real trial in his life. And he's still not completely out of that trial. And I shared some of this with him. The first one, thinking about this question, we face sickness, we face difficulty, we face hardship simply because we live in a fallen world. Because Adam and Eve took of the forbidden fruit, that has affected the world even to today and will continue to affect the world. We live in a fallen world. So that's one of the simple answers. I know these can be a lot more complicated, but I'm trying to break it down just to simple answers. The Bible says that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. There's some people that preach a prosperity gospel that when we surrender our lives to Christ, that things will get much easier. But that's not always the case. There's still Christians today being persecuted for their faith. Their life isn't easy. Our lives, we can't expect our lives to be easy if we're just surrendered to God. No, we live in a fallen world. Bad things happen to both the evil and the good. We all go through these things because we live in a fallen world. Another reason is God disciplines those he loves. Sometimes we are going through things because God wants to continue to shape us into a more beautiful image. God disciplines those who he loves. We can look in Hebrews at those verses. For the sake of time, we will keep moving on. But that's the second reason I have. And then the third reason is we have an enemy. Satan brings temptations. And I know we're talking more about trials right now, but Satan also is the reason why bad things happen to good people. Again, thinking about Satan and God having this conversation about Job. So another reason bad things happen is because of the devil. And then fourthly, we reap what we sow. Sometimes our trials are self-inflicted. So I think it's helpful when we go through hardships, when we are going through a very difficult time in our lives, I think it's helpful to process some of these things, you know, about the why. But I believe more important than knowing the why, I am, maybe some of you would differ, I don't think we will always understand the why. I don't think we can look at these four reasons and always say, it's right here. Sometimes, yes, especially, you know, maybe the last one. You know, this is a result of my own sin. We can pinpoint it right there. But I believe no matter where it is, God can still do his perfecting work in our lives if we allow him to continue to mold us. So I don't think the why is as important as, you know, just we can examine that. We want to grow through our trials, but allow God to have his work. I don't think Job fully understood the why when he was when he was going through his trials. So moving to the second one here, enduring temptations. James says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So James tells us that we are tempted by the lust that comes from within. So God allows trials, but the way I understand it, God does not tempt us to sin. If we're facing temptations that are drawing us to sin, that lust is coming from within our carnal nature, or the lust is coming from our enemy. It is Satan that wants us to sin, and he brings temptations. Now, those temptations of themselves are not sin. We have a choice to make when we're tempted to sin. When we're tempted to look at something that we know we shouldn't be, that's not sin right there, but the sin starts when we yield to that sin. So if we want to endure through temptations, we have a choice to make when we're tempted. Are we going to yield to the sin? Are we going to look? Or are we going to go where we shouldn't go? Are we going to listen to something that we shouldn't? It's our choice. Will we yield, or will we make, or will we escape the temptation? If we yield to sin, it is that sin that leads to death, as James says in these verses. And then Paul said in Corinthians, he said, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." This is a beautiful promise in these verses. So when we are tempted, thinking now about enduring temptation, none of us are exempt from temptation. And I don't think it's just young people that go through temptation, but it's middle-aged people, it's older people. We all face temptations. What are we going to do with those temptations? So if we want to endure, if we allow God to continue shaping us, we need to escape the temptation. And Paul tells us that God will not allow us to be tempted above that we're able. So whenever we're tempted, we can look to God, we can cry out to Him, and we can take the way of escape. We can endure the temptation. It is a beautiful promise that we have. So no temptation is too powerful that there is no way out. If we cry out to God and look to Him, God will give you the grace that you need to endure through the temptation. And then thirdly here, I'd like to look at enduring to the end. So how can we endure to the end? None of us have made it to the end. We all need to endure. None of us know exactly when that end will come. But Hebrews tells us, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." So one way that we can endure, one way we can endure trials, one way we can endure temptations is look to Jesus. He led a beautiful example for us to follow. Jesus endured the cross. So as we face trials, as we face hardships, as we face temptations, we can endure by one way is by looking to Jesus. And then also, we can look at the other heroes of faith. It says in verse 1 there, in Hebrews 12, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." God will give us the grace that we need to endure to the end. And other faithful Christians should encourage us to endure. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." I read this verse earlier, but I highlighted something else. "For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." I don't know exactly what this crown of life looks like, but it's going to be a beautiful crown, a crown that's worth receiving. A home forever in heaven with him is the package that's included into every person who endures temptation. Another verse here. Paul said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing." So this crown of righteousness is for you and I, for everyone who endures to the end.
And this, yeah, like I said, I wanted to encourage us, and sharing this message, it can be like, you know, all we need to do is endure. But I realize there's times, the day-to-day trials, this is very real sometimes. It's very hard. And endurance, having endurance is not easy. Some of you, I believe, have been following John Kelly, the man that is attempting to set a new world record in running the Appalachian Trail. Some of you might know this better than I do. My wife has been following him closer than I have, but thinking he's in Vermont currently, but he's facing some extreme hardship right now. And the last video I watched, it's uncertain whether or not he's going to be able to finish, whether or not he can actually endure. He has some tendonitis, I believe, and he said he couldn't even move his ankle, his one ankle. So I look at, like, even though I'm not following closely, I can appreciate the videos that I have seen, his attitude through it, and he's a professing Christian. And he's run so far, he's almost at the end. And now he's facing this great setback, and he's not sure he's going to be able to finish in order to set this new world record. It'll be discouraging. But a line that caught my attention is, he said he's at peace with, basically, I'm not quoting him verbatim, but he's at peace whatever the outcome will be. And I appreciated his attitude through that. He put so much energy into this, so much time into this. Others have invested so much time into this, but he might not be able to make it to the end. While that's sad, I mean, all the time invested, how much sadder it would be for us as Christians to endure almost to the end and then give up. It would be tragic. And I realize I might face something much greater than I have ever went through in my life in future years. But I want us to be encouraged to endure to the end and to look to Jesus. There's a story about, well, I'll just read the story here. It's a powerful story and ties in well with this. The story is told of a couple who went to England to celebrate their 25th wedding anniversary and shopped at a beautiful antique store. They both liked antiques and pottery, and especially teacups. And so spotting an exceptional cup, they asked, "May we see that? We've never seen a cup quite so beautiful." As the lady handed it to them, suddenly the teacup spoke. "You don't understand," it said. "I have not always been a teacup. There was a time when I was just a lump of clay. My master took me and rolled me and pounded and patted me over and over. And I yelled out, 'Don't do that. I don't like it. Let me alone.' But he only smiled and gently said, 'Not yet.' Then wham, I was placed on a spinning wheel, and suddenly I was spun around and around and around. 'Stop it. I'm getting too dizzy. I'm going to be sick,' I screamed. But the master only nodded and said quietly, 'Not yet.' He spun me and poked and prodded and bent me out of shape to suit himself, and then he put me in the oven. I never felt such heat. I yelled and knocked and pounded at the door, 'Help! Get me out of here!' 'Not yet.' When I thought I couldn't bear it another minute, the door opened. He carefully took me out and put me on the shelf, and I began to cool. Oh, that felt so good. Ah, this is much better, I thought. But after I cooled, he picked me up, and he brushed and painted me all over. The fumes were horrible. 'Oh, please, stop it, stop it,' I cried. He only shook his head and said, 'Not yet.' Then suddenly he put me back into the oven, only it was not like the first time. This time it was twice as hot, and I just knew I would suffocate. I begged, I pleaded, I screamed, I cried. I was convinced I would never make it. I was ready to give up, and just then the door opened, and he took me out and again placed me on the shelf, where I cooled and waited, wondering, what's he going to do to me next? An hour later, he handed me a mirror and said, 'Look at yourself.' And I did. I said, 'That's not me. That couldn't be me. It's beautiful. I'm beautiful.' Quietly, he spoke, 'I want you to remember, I know it hurt to be ruled and pounded and patted, but I had But had I just left you alone, you'd have dried up. I know it made you dizzy to spin around and around the wheel, but if you had stopped, you would have crumbled. I know it hurt, and it was hot and disagreeable in the oven, but if I hadn't put you there, you would have cracked. I know the fumes were bad when I brushed and painted you all over, but if I hadn't done that, you never would have hardened. You would not have had any color in your life if I hadn't put you back into that second oven. You wouldn't have survived long because the hardness would not have held. You are now. Now you are a finished product. Now you are what I had in mind when I first began with you. I love, again, that picture that story brings about a completed vessel. When you think about our life, when I place my life like that vessel in the oven, it's not easy. It's hard. And we can be fearful. I don't want to put fear in us this morning, but also bring us to an awareness that whatever does await us, God can still make us into a beautiful vessel, a broken vessel that's put back together. Yes, we mess up many times. We fail. But God and God alone can pick up those pieces and put the gold lining in there and make us a completed vessel if we will allow Him to. So we looked at enduring trials. And we could spend a lot of time on looking at various trials and different kinds of trials. But whatever hardships or trials we face, God wants us to endure. And God will give us the grace that we need to endure. And then enduring temptations. No matter what temptation you face this week, no matter how real and how overpowering those temptations may seem at times, God will give you a way of escape. When you cry out to Him, you can take that way of escape and you can endure the temptations. And then thirdly, God will give you the grace that you need to endure to the end. We don't know if John Kelly will make it to the end yet, but every Christian will have the grace they need to make it to the end. So my question I want to leave with you is, will you choose to endure faithfully so that God can complete your beautiful vessel? We're not all going to look the same when we're finished, but we're all going to be a beautiful vessel that God will complete if we allow Him to be the potter. If we continue to allow Him to shape us and mold us. There's a verse in Hebrews that says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts," as in the provocation. When the Israelites were in rebellion, they hardened their hearts. But God, if we feel God's Spirit speaking to us, the Holy Spirit speaking to us, I encourage you, don't harden your heart, but place your life on the center of that wheel and allow God to shape you so that God can complete you and make you into a beautiful vessel for His honor and for His glory. God bless you this week as you continue to allow God to be your potter. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning. Thank You for these verses in Scripture, how You want to be our potter, and we are the clay. And sometimes it's easy to reverse that, and we want to be the potter. We want to shape our lives. And sometimes we even want to form You what best suits us. But help us to accurately see it how it is and allow You to do Your work in our lives. I pray whatever trial we face this week, help us to endure. Give us the grace and strength that we need. Whatever temptation we face, Lord, I pray that we would say no to the enemy and that we would take the way of escape so that we would endure every temptation we face. And Lord, I recognize that many of us are on different paths, if you will, doing different things, going different places, but Your desire is that we would all finish well. Help each one of us to have the endurance that it takes to endure faithfully to the end so that You can have Your completed work in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.